Listening Dog Media.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
The Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe plug-in hybrid is built for the best of both worlds. For the city buzz, for the call of the wild, for finding solitude, for sharing memories, for day trips, and for far-roaming adventures. Because with gas and electric capability, the Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe inspires you to explore more, to explore it all. Tap the banner to learn more. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The Offside Rule with Lindsay Hooper and Natasha Dowie, promoting women's football since 2013.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of The Offside Rule. Boy, they come thick and fast, Natasha Dowie. And this time you're in a hotel room, fresh from a flight, back from Texas. What have you been doing?
Fresh from a flight, yeah, I'm just about alive. Now, I've had a pretty busy week. Beginning of the week, I was in Isle of Man, doing a women's football day there, which was really cool. And literally touched back down in Manchester, flew to Texas and to Austin for 3 days to be part of the Southwest big event over there with regards to marketing. And I was on a panel talking about fan engagement yesterday. And I literally flew overnight, touched down in Heathrow, straight to the hotel, ready for the show.
So South by Southwest, that's what you're talking about,
yes,
isn't it? Because that's really famous.
Yes.
But isn't that a music event usually?
Apparently, 100%, I was the same. I didn't have a clue, never heard of it. And then there's like 100,000 people taking over Austin. And it used to be music and more kind of movies. And now it's really expanded out to every kind of avenue. There was movie stars there were singers there, but also a lot of tech. Talking about the World Cup in 2026 in America. So we were kind of really talking about that. So it was cool. Out of my comfort zone for sure. But I think you've got to do these kind of things and hopefully that opens up doors for the future.
You did that as a player, Tash. You were always taking the moves,
yes,
trying something new.
You know,
got to do post as well. Any good stories?
Oh, to be honest, truthfully, I was a little bit boring. You know, they were like, are you going to go to this party and that party? I was just really getting my steps in, exploring the lovely riverside, doing the boardwalk. The first day, I think I got 37,000 steps. Skepta was there, so I watched him perform last night. Mm-hmm. So that was quite cool. But do you know what? It's just really eye-opening for me, and I think a different world that I'm not used to. So it's nicer to talk to different people, you know, hear different stories. And like you said, kind of step into a new world. And I think I like getting out of my comfort zone. And like you said, I'm always one to like to travel, like to try new things. So I'm really glad I did it. Yeah, it's a cool experience.
It feels as well like there's more of a crossover with the celeb world and football world over in the States. I think we look at what's been going on in Los Angeles with those takeovers and Serena Williams and Natalie Portman being involved with Angel FC. But there seems to be more of that. Would you say that it's heightened over there?
Absolutely. And it's funny you say that, because when I was actually flying to Texas, I watched the documentary with Natalie Portman when they took over Angel City and kind of what that entailed. And it's actually really cool to see what went behind the scenes and how much that is happening now in America. And so many people are actually then after my talk coming up to me saying, what's your plans for the World Cup? You know, obviously they love us English as well and our knowledge of the game. And obviously Americans going over to play in WSL now, I think there's that real interest there. with Emma Hayes now taking over the American job as well. They're asking what she's like as a coach. So, yeah, I think, and also probably the disappointment of the World Cup just gone. You know, I think they now think that England's the best league in the world. So I think the interest is definitely there.
Well, whilst Tash catches her breath, because unlike Posh Spice, I mean, she must be the only person I know that comes off an aeroplane, although she does have the big sunglasses. But the rest of us, we all come off and we're all a bit jet lagged, aren't we? So I'll let you catch your breath a minute and remind everyone what's to come on the show. So Tash does have her one to watch at the end of the show, picking an emerging young talent, someone who potentially could play in WSL in the future. And that has been going down very well with the listeners. Lots of people like in your scouting reports, Tash. We will also talk to Holly Alding from Lewis FC. We're doubling down on nutrition this week, especially in the Championship, getting the take on what it's like for players playing in the second tier and how much support they get. But we will start by reviewing three standout matches from the weekend, and they are in this order. We will be going through the FA Cup, Spurs 1, City 1, Spurs going through to their first ever semi-finals of an FA Cup after beating City on penalties. We'll start with that. We'll go into the Championship for Charlton 0, Reading 1, and then round it off with Sydney FC versus Western United. I don't even know the result because I've got builders in and I'm running a bit behind myself. So I'm going to let Tash fill me in on that one as well. Let's start with the FA Cup though, Tash. And Spurs reaching that milestone for the first time, getting to a semi-final. They've got to the quarters a couple of times before but been knocked out. What got them over the line this time?
You know what? It's funny because of the time difference in Texas. I remember waking up one day, and because obviously some were played on Saturday, some on the Sunday. I remember waking up, seeing the Leicester result against Liverpool and thinking, okay, wasn't expecting that. You know, Leicester making history, first time they've ever reached the semi-finals ever. So that was a bit of a shock. Then the next day I wake up and I see that Spurs have beat City. Now, maybe less of a shock, but still a shock. You know, City are probably the informed team right now in the WSL, you know, really flying at the moment, pushing Chelsea for the title, really up there. I'm not saying Spurs aren't performing, but I really didn't expect to see that result. You know, and when I watched the game back, both teams could have won it. You know, I think for me, what City is struggling with right now is I don't think Bunny Shaw's 100% fit. I think they're managing her. And I think you can see that through them taking her off after 70 minutes. You don't take Bunny Shaw off. You know, she's your main threat for goals. You know, she's your best player on your team. And I think that she's been struggling for the last few weeks with this injury. I think it was her calf that they were kind of managing. So that's a bit of a concern for City, because we know, and I said it in the past in pods, that I think they rely too heavily on her for goals. I don't think they have a replacement for her. Chloe Kelly not starting did surprise me. Again, is that an injury thing? Is she not 100%? You know, she came on. Obviously, we know she's a penalty expert and she actually ends up missing her penalty, which was a bit of a surprise.
Can I say about that? Yeah. Credit to Becky Spencer. Now, I know it was at the right height, but boy, does Chloe Kelly give it some welly when she hits those penalties. You could hear the ball pang off Becky Spencer. I mean, she hit it with such venom. And I don't think there are many goalkeepers in our league that would have stopped it, actually, even at that height, because it was so fast. And that little kick that she does, like a buckaroo. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing with Chloe Kelly. You know, we know what she does through the World Cup. You know, I think it was the fastest ever strike of a football with that penalty. But I've seen her mix it up a few times. And I was actually thinking, if I was a keeper up against her, you would just stand and be big, because you know probably 9 times out of 10 she's going for that powerful shot. But recently I've seen her go for little placements into the corner. So I was kind of wondering what she was going to go for. But yeah, great save by Becky Spencer. But going back to the City thing, so I look at Chelsea as well, with Ramirez relying so heavily on her now that Sam Kerr and
Macario.
Yes, Macario, exactly. I mean, what a signing. But I just think the top teams now, they're struggling a little bit, I think, with some of their key players. But you've got to give credit to Spurs. City's team is still so strong. You know, I think Spurs could have won it. Beth England had a couple of chances in extra time where she could have won it for them. And credit to them to keep in the game, you know, to show that character, to get that 96-minute winner. Yes, it was a massive error from City. And I hate to say it, but look, I know the City, everyone's been raving about the City goalkeeper, Keating. And look, she's definitely one for the future. She's a great player, but she has too many bloopers in her, you know, and this has happened before. And in my opinion, I think that was a goalkeeping and a defensive error that shouldn't have happened, you know. And
she suffered the curse.
She did.
You know, when because she got Player of the Month, the Barclays Player of the Month award.
Yeah.
And then that's the curse sometimes for some players and managers. Mm-hmm. They then go on and sometimes struggle.
Absolutely.
I did want to talk about City because they've had a really bad week, as much as we should be heaping so much praise on Spurs. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to play a game where it's bookended the way that it is, there's not many times, Tash, that I think you want to be the team that scored last.
Yep.
But I think in a cup match, mm-hmm. especially, you know, they'd got off the mark 6 minutes in. Mary Fowler had got them up and running. And it was 96 minutes when Bethany England scored. And I think then the momentum's with Spurs.
100%.
And I just think if you're going to bookend a match the way you do, actually in this case, you don't want to be the team that scored really early and first. You want to be going into those penalties feeling confident. I mean, how much would you buy into
that? Yeah, 100% agree with you. I think it gives you massive momentum. You're on a high, you know, you're on a high from really saving the game and keeping yourself in the game. But it did surprise me with the penalty takers that did miss. You know, they're the reliable ones. Alex Greenwood doesn't miss penalties. You know, Chloe Kelly doesn't miss penalties. You know, so I think looking back, they were quite poor penalties as well. Good heights for the keeper, Greenwood's especially. And you could see she was really disappointed. But when it comes to penalties, you know, it's a toss of the coin. You know, it can be anyone's. Mm-hmm. And credit to Tottenham, they held their nerve. And now when you look at the four teams that have progressed through, you know, Spurs, Leicester, I don't think really anyone probably expected them to. United, Chelsea, more so. But there could be a real upset here. And, you know, I think it's really opened. You know, Chelsea look heavy favourites to go on and win another trophy, in my opinion. But it's nice to see some teams that maybe we didn't suspect going through, yeah, making it to the semis.
As well as Kiara Keating's done as well, she doesn't look like a penalty goalkeeper to me. You know, there are some goalkeepers that you think you'd bring them on especially to save penalties. She doesn't seem like she's a stopper in that situation. She's great in open play and reading the game and very quick off her line sometimes as well, which I think has been really to her benefit this season, because a lot of teams have tried to get in behind and she's just not given them the space. Yeah. But in a penalty scenario, immediately I thought, oh, suddenly this is swinging towards Spurs with Becky Spencer.
Yes, agree. Yeah, no, agree. It was. I love the FA Cup games. The FA Cup, it holds a close, you know, a close fondness in my heart through us winning it at Everton. And I just think they're the games you look forward to. The Cup games are the best. Yeah, you can't beat them.
A mention for the player that scored the winning penalty for Spurs, Amy James Turner. She got the
centre half.
And it's lovely to be that
up.
One, isn't it? Yeah, centre half and everyone running round her. And yeah, she got to have her moment.
Absolutely. I was surprised when I saw that, when I looked at who had missed the penalties and who had taken them. When I saw Amy Turner, fifth penalty take, I thought, okay, fair play. Yeah, and she slotted away very calmly.
So you're thinking still Chelsea when you're looking ahead in this competition.
Yeah, 100%.
You mentioned, because they narrowly beat Everton just 1-0, mm-hmm. but Macario, instant impact coming on as a sub again. I mean, she keeps doing it. And Man United looked the most convincing, beating Brighton 4-0. Who do you think is going to be in the final?
I just can't see anyone beating Chelsea. I know United had a good performance the other day, but I just think Chelsea on their day, they just know how to win. You know, I think they'll be too strong for those other three teams. But I can see United, Chelsea, depending on how the draws go, them two teams are definitely the strongest out of the four.
Let's dip into the Championship then. Mm. Charlton 0, Reading 1, your old club. Yeah. Still a few players that you played with at the club.
Absolutely.
I wanted to mention this because Charlton, in periods of this game, they dominated, it has to be said. But Reading got a reaction from losing their last match and dug deep. And sometimes we do talk about that character finding and that resilience. And maybe some of that experience that they've got within the squad saw them through this game. I thought Dugdale was brilliant. Some crucial interceptions. Stapleton was fouled. This is in the first half by Barton in the box. Charlton got a penalty, but it was saved. So Orman, the goalkeeper, producing a brilliant save, had a really good save towards the end of the match as well. I think that was denying Johnson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was through on goal. Just before half time, it was Charlie Wellings, and she's got this in her locker, 25, 30 yards. I'm sure it didn't surprise you that she scored this one.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I played with Charlie when I was at Reading a couple of seasons ago, and I didn't realise how young she was. I feel like she's been around for years. So when I looked her up and I saw she was only 25, You know, she obviously...
That's like Alex Greenwood as well, because she started so young. Yeah. You feel like they've been around for decades.
Absolutely. And her former Celtic, I think she got something like 28 goals in 18 games or something when she was at Celtic. So she's got an eye for goal. And, you know, she's someone that when you give her a chance, she will score. You know, and I noticed that when I was playing with her at Reading, she's quite a prolific goal scorer. And it was a great finish. You know, I think you're spot on. I think Charlton could have easily had a couple of goals early on. But credit to Reading, they hang in there. And to see the goalie off her line and to execute that kind of finish, that's not easy at all. You know, and I think it's a massive, well, massive 3 points for Reading, but huge points drop for Charlton. You know, they could have literally, they could have gone 1 point behind Sunderland at top if they had won the game. Look, you can say there's still only 4 points adrift and they've got the game in hand. So they are still in it. But I think that's a game that really on paper at home against Reading, they need to be winning that. I think Karen Hills will be really disappointed with dropping those points.
I'm going to reveal now, I love a lob. And I can't imagine what it's like scoring it in a competitive match like that to lob the keeper. But my only brag that I will ever have in a media match, Tash, that I can say to a striker who probably was going to laugh in my face. And also, you never believe that I played a little bit when we first met.
Yeah.
But I did. I lobbed a goalkeeper at five-a-side once.
Five-a-side?
Yes.
Oh my God, talk me through it. You need to describe it to me. Paint the picture, please.
I can't talk it through myself. It was sort of midfield and I saw that the goalkeeper was off and I just thought I'll try it. And I thought that I'd scored the goal of the tournament. It was a media tournament at St. George's Park. And I thought, oh, well, I'm going to go away and I'm going to have scored the goal of the tournament. And then a fellow player, Harriet Drudge, who used to work on the offside rule, actually, she's now at The Athletic, she scored the best goal I've ever seen at five-a-side from literally near the goalkeeper. She volleyed it near our goalkeeper.
God,
she volleyed it and it went through a sea of players.
Shine away.
That was my moment gone, Tash, but it's the only thing I can ever talk to you about.
I'm putting this on the socials. I need someone to find me that footage. I need to see the proof.
I think someone like Jess Creighton might have been there, actually. But you could, there's some witnesses for sure, so we can find someone. But you've scored plenty of lobs in your time.
Yeah, I remember a nice one at Reading not long ago, my left foot against Leicester. I think I actually got goal of the month. Yeah, that was a nice one.
Yeah,
little,
I do remember
little
that.
Dink. Yeah, I think if I'd ever tried that again, it probably would have hit Rose Z. So, yeah, we pretend like we meant it.
That victory for Reading, they're eighth. I wouldn't say that they're safe, but I mean, they feel comfortable. Yep. For Charlton, it probably is them now that has got more work to do because they're in a position where they could still close the gap towards the top. They are currently fourth on 30 points. We're going to the A-League, a league that you played in for your game, and you've chosen Sydney against Western United. What was the result, first of all?
The result was, Sydney won 3-1. So okay. I was really desperate to kind of get back involved, you know, covering the A-League, but there was no really games that stood out for me. But this week when I was flicking through what games would stand out, Sydney Women straight away, every year they're up there competing. You know, when I was playing for Melbourne Victory, they were always the team year in, year out that were kind of winning the trophies. And Western United are kind of a new team on the block and they've been doing really well. Kat Smith, who's my old assistant coach at Melbourne Victory, she's the manager there now. So I reached out to her, had a little chat to her. You know me, Lynn's always got my contacts. Kind of, I know I probably felt a bit bad because they had lost, but I was like, look, can you just talk me through the game? How did it go? What were your thoughts? You look at Sydney, they've got Courtney Vine. You know, she's a senior international with the Australian team. She got two goals for Sydney. Western United were missing Chloe Legazzo, who's a regular with the Australian national team. So that's a massive loss for them. But look, they're still top of the table, Western United. So they've played 18, they've got 35 points. Sydney are now in second place with 30 points. Oh, sorry, with 33 points. They're 2 points behind Western United now, but with a game in hand. So it was probably a big 3 points drop by Western United because Sydney can overtake them now. Kat Smith said, look, they need to be better with the ball. They need to be more aggressive in possession, especially with the speed of the Western, with the Sydney United forwards in Courtney Vine. They needed to be braver when playing out and in possession. So she says she was disappointed with the first half, but the second half was a lot better. But no, it's just been great to follow the league and see how it develops. I'm always rooting for my Melbourne Victory team. You know, that's my second home. It's, you know, where my heart's at, really, except for Liverpool. But it's nice to see other teams emerging as well, and to see, you know, faces, new faces, young players, young blood. I mean, that's what, you know, the A-League used to be called, the W League, is so good at, you know, is bringing that youth through. If you look at the Australian national team and the players that they've produced over there in Australia, I think for a while it is going to be that feeder league, unfortunately. But I think in the long run, bigger picture, they would love nothing more than to attract some of their superstars back, which they have. You know, you look at the likes of Kai Simon, she's gone back there, she's playing now. Heyman, Courtney Vine, they have got some big names, Legazo. But I think ideally, they really want to make it a league that really attracts them superstars back, and hopefully they will.
Is it similar to the Premier League and WSL, where sometimes players from abroad really want to go to London? And is that why Sydney flourishes as well? Because players want to go to Sydney. 100%. Although Melbourne has the best coffee, I
Yes, it does. You know your stuff. No, but 100% Sydney is the city that people want to go to. You know, it's got the big attractions. It's exactly like what you said. It's like London. And I think competition-wise as well, you know, I think they're probably... There's competition. There is a couple of teams in Sydney. Obviously, Melbourne have, I think it's Melbourne City, Melbourne Victory. They have, obviously, the Western United. So there's a lot of competition in Melbourne. So Sydney, they've got a great coach as well. I think the coach really helps them. He attracts a lot of good players to Sydney. And they're used to winning every year, which obviously is an attraction as well. So I think that definitely helps. And they've tended to have quite a stable team, the same team year in, year out, and just added a few here and there. But no, it's great. Great to kind of see the league going. Nice to catch up with Kat Smith. She said, "I'm always welcome back if I want to unhang the boots."
See, but this show is keeping your connections red hot.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is.
And who do you think will be going into the future, the big rivals for Sydney? I always want to see that emerge, even one or two, because it's never fun, is it, if it's just sort of a two-horse race? But a one-horse race is even worse.
I agree. Truthfully, I think it's always going to be your Melbourne City. I think that they'll always be up there because financially they've got the money to attract players, having links with obviously Man City. And I do think Western United, I think, look, they're top of the table right now. They've got some good players in their team. And I think the thing with Western United is that they also attract really high profile internationals as well. You look at Jess McDonnell, who was there last year. She had to go back and play in America, so missed the finals when they made it. And that's the hard thing with the Australian League. Now it's obviously changing. It's 10 months long, so players have to commit to that time period. But in the past, it was a shorter period. So you only had the internationals for a certain amount of time, and then they had to go back and play for their clubs in America. So, yeah, I'm really hoping the league develops. I don't think it's had the impact off the World Cup it was really looking for or hoping for. And this is where actually it's funny, because when I was in Texas, we were talking about this legacy. How can you leave a legacy without winning being the only option? And I think, obviously, the Lionesses winning the Euros has helped, you know, with that legacy. Oh, yeah.
And I said that, but even coming second wouldn't have done it. You had to win
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And it's finding a way now that, okay, Australia and the Matildas didn't win the World Cup, but that shit still should have left a legacy. That shit still should have left a footprint to allow, you know, the A-League to really grow. And I think they've missed a trick there a little bit.
We'll leave that there for now, although we may revisit the A-League again later on this season at some point. I don't know, because I just go wherever Tash goes. Do excuse me as well if you hear bits of noise in the background. I do have builders doing work, but we'll try and carry on through. So next up, we're going to our In the Spotlight section, and we're speaking all things nutrition.
The Offside Rule with Lindsay Hooper and Natasha Dowie.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
CeraVe Facial Moisturizers with SPF protect skin against damaging UV rays and continuously deliver three essential ceramides to help restore skin's protective barrier so it can lock in moisture. Non-greasy, fragrance-free, and won't clog pores? With CeraVe, skin feels hydrated and looks healthy all day. CeraVe Facial Moisturizers with SPF. from the number one dermatologist recommended facial moisturizer brand.
We're lucky to be joined by a championship player from Lewis FC, Holly Alding, this week to look at nutrition from a championship player's perspective. Although I will bring Tash in, I'll bring you in on this later, Tash, just your journey with nutrition over the period of your career. But let's first of all welcome Holly. How has your nutrition journey changed as you've got further into being a pro?
I'm just like more aware, especially as a woman, I'm more aware of what I need to put on my body. I think I'm still like learning about nutrition. It's obviously there's like your simple kind of, you've got your simple carbohydrates, protein, I know all that kind of stuff. But I think for a professional athlete, especially a female professional athlete, especially I just touched on your cycle and different phases of your cycle, it's really important to know what to eat at what stage. And I'm still learning that. So as a professional, I think it's just like staying on top of that, knowing what to put in your body, and especially as a woman as well, is super important.
So for any young players listening, wanting to replicate, what are your do's and don'ts that you've just learned as you've gone along?
I think we're all so different. Our bodies are so different. So I think it's just like finding a balance that works for you. I'm a centre mid. Like I run on average 11 to 13K a game. So I probably eat a lot more in the week than maybe some other players. So I think everyone's so niche. It's just understanding what your body needs. But then obviously still following that specific rule of like before a game, carbs, after a game, protein. And then, like I said, as you kind of get older, you're more aware of your cycles, your trends. And I think it's for me, it's like what's important to eat leading up to my cycle, when I'm on my cycle, and then afterwards, because obviously we've seen like the impact of like menstrual cycles and now of injuries as well. So I think it's just staying on top of that and knowing what works for my body.
How much do you do looking at inflammatory foods, especially when you're thinking of cycles? Because that's something that I think has become more prevalent in recent months as people have been talking about the hormonal changes with women, and that some foods can actually fire that up even more. They are inflammatory.
Yeah, I think for me, like I just love blueberries, for example, and they're super good to eat just before your period and while you're on it. And then obviously your fish as well, like the omega is so good for you. So I definitely tap into that when I'm on my cycle. Also, we have this Fitter Women app that we use at Lewis, and it gives you meal plans and what to eat on each stage. So even if you're unsure, you can just go onto the app and it will tell you like a list of different recipes, what to eat, what anti-inflam foods to eat, what to drink. So it's super special and definitely something that I think could be used more in the championship.
In terms of your squad and the makeup of it, have you got some teammates that really suffer in the gynae department? Are they having to spend more time and focus on that area?
I think, yeah, most probably. I know that a few players reach out to Niamh and chat to her. But on a personal level, I've had that with Niamh this year. I've been like not suffering, but like I find it hard to put weight on, especially in season. Like I said, I'm a centre mid. I run a lot. I think a few years ago I did a test at David Lloyd's and it said I had the metabolism of like a 12-year-old boy, which is like mad. So for me, I have my own issues with like having to eating the right food. So yeah, I'm sure girls will. And it's not a bad subject. Like it needs to be spoken about more. Like we said, we're all so different. But there are, I think, a few girls on teams that will have issues, but it's just having the resources. Like I said, at Lewis, we're lucky enough to have Niamh, but at other clubs in the championship, tier three, tier four, don't have that access. So I think moving forward in the game, it'll be really important to have those resources readily available.
Really nice to hear from Holly, who does look remarkably like Keira Knightley. Even her agents are saying to me that, and she really does. I mean, what a problem to have, Tash.
Oh, honestly.
Your metabolism's so good that you always remain slim.
Please.
I mean, I do understand her frustrations from an athletic point of view, but for everyone else in society, we're just like, no, we're not buying
Give
that.
Give me that metabolism. I sniff something and I put weight on, so Oh God, let's swap. She can have my muscles. I'd prefer to be lean.
Oh, well, you can hear all of that chat in full. It will drop down wherever you get this podcast. It will drop down that channel later on this week. So that was just a taster. But from you, Tash, I mean, your journey must have been really wildly different when it comes to nutrition, because the experts only started coming in towards the end of your career, didn't
they? Yeah, 100%. I really... not struggle, but I've fluctuated a lot with my weight. I always carried a little bit extra. I felt when I was younger, didn't have the guidance. You know, I'm a massive foodie, so I love my food. Food is my big passion. So I ate a lot. And then, you know, as you get older, obviously you grow into your body, and I leaned out slightly, but I probably never really kind of knew what worked for me or what ticked with me. I just ate the food that I liked. I had an idea of what was good for you. Back in the day, I got told pasta was, you know, the best thing. But actually then the older I got told pasta was, you know, almost like the devil, and you should only eat it before game day and be more into your kind of protein and your chicken and your rice during the week, and then carb up towards game day. So I always heard different things, to be honest. And, you know, we never really got advice as such. It was a case of actually when listening to Holly, it was right. It was put on for us. You know, you kind of didn't ask questions. Like in life and football, you get told when to train, what to eat, when to sleep, you know, and you kind of just did it. So when I used to go to training at Reading or at Liverpool or AC Milan or all these clubs, you know, we were very fortunate that we had the breakfast and the lunch and it was there. You know, so you went in and you ate what you liked, and you didn't really have to think too much about that. But I think you were spot on, Lindsay, with regards to when you were saying that maybe because they have had to do it more on their own, they have more of an understanding on actually what is good for you. They've probably done more research. They've probably learnt more about, you know, what works for their body and what doesn't. And I think that, you know, there is a massive perception right now, and it is a huge talking point. I think it's always been an issue in women's football and in women's sport in general about eating and eating disorders. And truthfully, I've had issues in the past with regards to, you know, never being happy with the way I looked. You know, at times you probably could say I did have an eating disorder with regards to I would do crazy things with my food. I'd chop it up. I would sometimes suck things and then spit it out because I didn't want to eat that. You know, I just wanted to taste it, but I had that guilt of actually putting it in my body. And I think sometimes when I was involved with England, you know, you'd have your fat tests where they would pinch you, do all your skin folds, and you got weighed in the morning.
I'm not a fan of that.
A constant thing. And I know many friends that had real problems, to be honest, with regards to that. And I think it's great to hear the likes of your Russos coming out now and your Fran Kirby saying that, you know, they want to be strong, they don't want to be skinny. And I think that's a real powerful statement. And I think we are athletes, you know, and to be an athlete, you have to look a certain way. You have to be strong, you know, and, you know, I've been okay with that, but I'm not going to stand here and say that, you know, throughout my career, I've, you know, been able to eat what I want and been happy with my physique. And I think it's a constant thing. Even now that I've retired, I think it's even harder. I think it's a society that we live in. You know, you're constantly looking on social media. You're meant to be looking a certain way. You know, you're never really happy with yourself. And I think it is tough, you know, and it's kind of nice to hear Holly. She seems like quite a mature girl. She seems like she's got a good head on her. She seems like she's wanting to do the right things to help her as an athlete, not because of how she looks. But I think also sometimes with the role models that we do have within sport, it is sometimes a lot of, you know, I'm not going to name names, but, you know, people looking a certain way and getting a lot of attention, and these younger kids then feel like they need to maybe look like that, you know, the short shorts, the tight kit. You know, it's very different to when you and me used to play, Lindsay, when we were younger. That was never the case. And I just think we have to be careful with how we portray how young girls need to look when they're growing up. I think, you know, you need to be beautiful inside. It's not what you look like outside. And I think growing up, that's what I've learned, really.
I'm so pleased as well that you picked up on the self-governance part, because I think if we want to sit here and empower young women, and there might be mums and dads listening to this podcast who've got children who are playing, but it might also be that we've got young players listening in as well. And sometimes you might look at WSL or the promised land, as it might be, and think, oh, well, that's when it's perfect and everyone is doing everything for you. But actually, this is empowering you to take ownership of your own nutrition and to research and to read around around it. And actually, you cannot be any better than you knowing your own body. So I think really that is the way forward, and try and use these teachings. But it doesn't matter what level you play at, you can try and use some nutritional lessons just from reading around the subject. Interestingly, I wanted to ask you whether you think you might, because of the period that you played in where mm-hmm. you had very little at the start and a bit more towards the end, do you think you've been deprived of a few years where you could have played a bit longer?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I talked to my partner, Becky, about this a lot. You know, a lot of things that we've done now after football, you know, I'm really into my my cold therapy, you know, my deep breathing, and I do that a lot now. And actually Becky started doing it with me, and she said, you know what, honestly, if I'd started doing this breathing when I was a pro athlete, I actually feel like she would have been fitter, she would have maybe lasted longer, had a longer career. And 100% in the nutrition side of things, you know, I think that I was fortunate throughout my career that I didn't have many injuries. And I do feel like even when I retired, I still had a good few years left in me. But I probably should have paid more interest, truthfully. I think that maybe at times I was a bit lazy because it was there for me. I maybe didn't ask enough questions. I maybe, you know, didn't have that real obsession with that side of things. To me, it was just food was there to fuel me. I loved it. I ate it. Maybe if I had really taken that kind of care and quality into, like, actually I'm a striker, this is my body type, what do I need, then maybe that would have taken me to the next level. And I know many players, your Ellen Whites for instance, you know, she used to be obsessed with stuff like that. You know, when we used to go on England camps, we'd all be out in the corridor having our cups of tea, our little biscuits, having little chatters and catch up, and she'd be in her room, you know, doing her sit-ups, and you know, she would never eat anything. Like, we'd have dessert and she would just never touch it, you know. And she was, you know, her physique was, you know, shredded, you know. And
Casey Stoney was like that as
absolutely.
Well, wasn't she?
And I think, you know, that's kind of what takes you then to the next level. And, you know, I think I probably love food too much to to be too strict. I wish I didn't have a sweet tooth.
We'll have a private conversation of which foods, but yeah. I'm more of a cheese person, right, let's move on then to your one to watch for this week.
The Offside Rule. Women's Football Unlocked.
Every week, Natasha gives us a name, one that you may not have ever heard of, but you will hear of in the future. Who is it? Who's your emerging talent this week?
So I reached out to my agent, or my ex-agent now, because I'm not playing as much anymore, Alan Najon. He's the head of AV Sports, so he's got the big players, your Sam Kerrs, Hegerbergs, you know, you name it, they look after them. So I was like, right, he said, I've got a few for you. He gave me a lot. He said, okay, maybe hold fire on a few because I want to wrap them up. So I don't want them to be released too early so that he can't then sign
hold them for later on in the season.
So this player, she's called Saniba Samora. Okay, she's 20 years old and you will be so proud of me. She is a defender. Can you
believe it? Hallelujah, we have a defender.
I literally said to him, Alan, I need a defender or a goalie, otherwise Lindsay will kill me. So he gave me a defender. She plays at PSG. She signed for PSG last summer from Paris FC. She only just recently broke into the French senior team. So she is someone, again, that we haven't heard of, but potentially now in the next couple of years, she could really, you know, shine. Spoke to Alan. She's very athletic, really good distribution wise, a little bit like Mbok at Lyon, the defender there, maybe lacking in size a little bit, but he definitely said she is a defender to watch for the future. So Saniba Samora.
Samora. And I take it she's pretty heighty. She's got that on her side.
He actually said she's lacking in size, so he said probably the one thing that maybe might hold her back is the size thing.
She's the Martinez. She's like the yes. Manchester United Martinez.
Yeah, so I'm excited about
football.
This one.
Oh, okay, Samora, thank you very much. We will leave that there. We are back with our mailbag on Friday, answering some questions and answering a famous question this week.
The Offside Rule. This is a Listening Dog Media production. Sports Social Podcast Network.